Good morning, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this morning's session is Gary, KC2RMO. His location is Syracuse, New York. I'm merely opening it up this morning. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently 75 degrees. High today, very close to a 90, and maybe some storms a little later in the day, and maybe some breezes, but a very beautiful start to the morning. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week or last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard?
RMO, you should step in for the last week.
Well, Mr. Gary, I was just about ready to key up when you did. Yes, it was my birthday last Monday, May the 19th. And you've already heard about my interesting day for my birthday, but it was a nice day, and just another year. So thank you, Gary, for reminding me, and soon some of our other members will be having birthdays, so thank you for that. I want to advise everyone that this is the Sunday Morning Rag 2. The purpose of this net is to bring our members and non-members together in a relaxed and informal atmosphere to enjoy a moderated Rag 2. Our topic this morning to start things off is actually twofold. It's the Dayton Hamvention, and it's also Ask an Elmer. And I do want to advise everyone, we always record our sessions for future presentation on our website as a podcast, and all stations participating will be part of that recording. And if you haven't checked out our website, do check that out. There's some interesting pictures and interesting information there. So without any further ado, Gary, I'm going to throw it your direction. I will be working in the background. We're going to try to hang that vertical blind and whatever we have to do to get ourselves more comfortable, but we will be listening. So with that, Gary, thanks for running it this morning, and it's all yours.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and it's coming up on 1404 Zulu, and welcome everyone everywhere for, and thank you for connecting to the Sunday Morning Rag 2. Our topic, as Kathy has said this morning, is Ask an Elmer, plus we'll be talking a little bit about the Dayton Hamvention. And what we're doing this morning is simple. We're taking your questions about ham radio and technology in general. If you want to throw something in on that level too, we'll take your question and field it to everybody listening and see if we can find an answer for you. Plus, we'll invite any comments you have on the current state of ham radio or anything of an informational nature you'd like to offer. Plus, we've got some interesting tidbits to offer a little later on in the net, including, a demonstration of something that is actually pretty funny. We'll be talking a little bit about that Dayton Hamvention that wrapped up last week, so let's get it going. It's time to Ask an Elmer here on South Cars. Now, whether you're a new ham, and we love to hear from new hams, I will tell you right now, do not feel shy if you're brand new at this. You've got a bunch of people that would just love to answer your questions or just hear from you anyway. Or if you've been around the block a few times, we'd love to hear from you. So Flying Cat just went by here. Mr. Jingles just jumped down from the file cabinet and right across the keyboard here. And he's kind of like in the way. We have technical difficulties on account of Cat. Can you hold that? Thank you. And let's get some check-ins going while I get this cat situation under control. Just to say hello or anything else, it's Ask an Elmer. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars looking for check-ins right now.
Uniform Kilo Zulu.
6, Victor.
Get back, Yankee.
Well, a good way to get started, and Mr. Jingles has jumped down from the desktop here, too, so this is good. So let's get things going with UKZ. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning, Gary, and hopefully you get the feline situation dealt with. I've got one here myself, so I know how nuts they can be. Mine is bad for scratch and tablet screens. I could, if I just lay a tablet down and there's a moving image on it, movie, cartoon, anything, forget about it. She's after scratching 2 or 3 on me already, and those things aren't bloody cheap, and she just loves to attack anything that moves, so I got to learn myself to flip the book cover over it when I lay it down to grab the phone or answer the door or something like that. It can't be left unattended. I just got a new one there, a couple weeks ago. That one has been safe from cat scratches so far, but I'm getting another one there in the next couple of weeks now. I don't have any Windows tablets, weirdly enough. I've got Android and QNX, and I don't have iPhone or iPad. I don't like them at all. Really, really against the whole Apple operating system, both on mobile devices and desktops. I really don't like it. I don't like how they lock everything down, and it's just so uncustomizable. You get what they want you to have, and that's it. Not a fan of that whatsoever. But anyway, enough about that. South Car's number, Gary, is Echo 2130, and I'm going to be heading out for my walk very, very shortly, so I'm glad I managed to get in here and say hello before I had to take off, and which I will do now. And hello to you, Gordon, KY6V in the group. This is the 01 at UKZ. Back to net.
Hey, thank you for checking in. It's funny. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Apple iOS this morning. That's part of our surprise demonstration, actually. But I have it's actually Stephanie's, but I use it. It's a Windows Surface tablet. She has an Apple iPad Air, which prompted this whole thing with the demonstration. But I use this Apple or this Windows Surface tablet. I love the iPad Air. I absolutely love that iPad Air. It's a very elegant tablet. But I'll tell you, that Windows Surface tablet is great. I absolutely love it, too. It's kind of like it looks like Windows 8, but it's not really Windows 8 that's on it. It behaves very much like Windows 8. It has a lot of the attributes of Windows 8, but it is not truly Windows 8. So, it suits me. It's just got a good feel to it, and I use it a lot, and it's okay with me. So that's fine. So, we actually this is the house of tablets. I have an iPad, first generation iPad in the truck. Let me buy a nickel. I have a first generation iPad in the truck, and I use that to play music through the. Through the stereo in it, and plus it's handy, if you're in a Wi-Fi area. Steph has her iPad Air. We have the Windows Surface, and we also have an Android tablet because I picked it up for $50. I mean, how can you go wrong? So we've got that. If you're Daryl, if you're around a little bit later on this morning, or if you're listening anyway. You might hear this kind of fun demonstration that we're going to do with Apple iOS. But thanks for checking in. We move it along to 6, Victor. And good morning, sir. You're kind of like Tim the Tool Man Taylor this morning, huh?
Well, I guess you could call me that. I've never done this before, Gary. And good morning to everybody. Hi, Daryl. And Jim's your backup, and he's coming up here shortly also. KY6V down here in Port St. Lucie. I like to call it Jensen Beach because we're only within about a mile of Jensen Beach. And every time I come on the air here on VOIP, it pinpoints me down at Jensen Beach because that's where the ISP is. Any rate, I did my homework last night, Gary, and I've looked over these blinds. This is a double window type door that goes out to the patio. So the overall blind height is going to be maybe 74 inches or something like that. It's about 84 inches wide. And these are all vertical blinds. So I've never put these up before. The instructions didn't look too damaging. Once I get the mollies in the wall so that it doesn't fall off, I think the rest of it's going to be a piece of cake. But I'll give you a report on it. Any rate, you got the weather down here from Kathy? It's a little overcast as we speak at the moment, but I think that'll burn off pretty quick, and we'll have a nice day. Thanks, Gary. KY6V, back to Ned.
Well, Gordon, remember on Ask an Elmer, not only do we take questions about ham radio and technology, we also do home improvements. If you run into something, just come aboard, and we'll see what we can help you with. But I think that should go pretty easily for you. But vertical blinds look great. You know, when you get them up, they really do look good, so it's worth the effort, that's for sure. Our weather here is just astounding. We are in the midst of a couple of really great days. We're going up to 76 with sunshine today, and I think we're going to be hitting 80 tomorrow with even more sunshine. And we've got Steph's brother and sister-in-law coming up, so we're going to be spending some time out on the deck. So I'm going to be tidying up the deck today, and among other things. So right, and KJ4PUJ says measure twice, cut once, and that's right. how I have learned that by the hard way, believe me. But we've got a couple of really great days coming up here, so we're certainly going to be enjoying that. So good luck on those blinds, and we'll move it along. We'll say hello to my backup, Quebec Yankee. Hello there, Jim.
Good morning, Mr. Gary. KB4QI. Echo 1880. And I just all our bond statistics. All that. We had a good time yesterday on SSIN, and we discussed, cussed, and all that kind of stuff over microphones. All of them is for the computer or for the radio, HF, VHF, UHF, anything else. And yeah, and built-in mic, that was in there too. And all that. So we had a real good time with it. Good net. And it ran for about 55 minutes. About 5 minutes till when we run out of station. But we sure had a ball with it, and one of my better nets that I've run, and just had a good time with all of it. Everything else is Jordan Beverly here, and by the by, let me buy some time by here. By the by, I guess everybody is familiar with the new NET schedule that will be coming up next weekend, the first weekend on the new schedule. And what that means is today, this NET will be the final net at this time. This net will move it won't move. Actually, it'll just cease to be in there. There'll be another one come on. It'll be at 7 o'clock Sunday night. So, if you haven't been keeping up with the schedule, say everybody about heads up and look at the schedule, because next week will be different from this week. So we'll be saying so long to the Sunday morning crowd anyway, and there we be. But it's been a good step, and all that. Anyway, we've had a lot of fun on it. All right, go ahead, Mr. Gary, the KB4QI. Oh, wait a minute. I got to send it to KB4QA. Excuse me. I'm about to forget her. Yeah, I know them. I'm going to be in a heap of trouble here. Go ahead, the KB4QX, KB4QY.
Oh, he is after stirring up trouble, that's for sure. This is Rebecca, KB4QX. And, they are, bright sunny skies outside. No clouds right now. They're talking about some isolated thunderstorms for later in the day, so we'll see what we get out of that. And we're currently up in the 80s, and they're talking about going up to 90, so as I said, we'll see what we get. And yeah, I'm going to miss this 10 o'clock Sunday morning, but that's the way it goes. When you got to make changes, you got to make changes. And it's going to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, the 7 in the evening time schedule is going to work out for more people, and we get to have more participation and activity. That'd be great, too. All right, I'm coming back over to you, Gary, and y'all take care. This is KB4QX.
Thank you so much, Rebecca, and it's great to have you here. And just to comment on that, this is the last Sunday morning rag two. This is the last one in the Sunday morning time slot. Down the line, there will be an occasional one with the new net schedule. And there will be Ask an Elmer's scheduled in there from time to time. But this is the last Ask an Elmer that we're going to do for quite some time, and certainly the last Sunday morning one. So it is great to have each and every one of you there for the last net. We've had a lot of fun doing these. Great to have you along as always, Rebecca, that's for sure. You know, Jim, you'd spoken about microphones, and that's funny because one of the questions I was going to ask a little bit later on in the net was about mics and whether or not you use the standard mic that came with your rig, or if you have something outboard that you like to use. For this side of things, on the VoIP setup that I have here, I use a Behringer C1 large diaphragm condenser microphone. It's like a studio mic, and that goes through a mixing board into my iMac, and that's how we get on the Internet. On my HF rig, which is an ICOM IC718, I use a Heil ICM mic, which is really a good-sounding mic on that rig. Great match for that. So, you know, while we're on the subject of microphones, let's ask that question right now. It's a little bit out of order, but why not? We can just throw it in anywhere we want, right? So do you use a microphone other than the mic that came with your rig? What is it, and why do you use it? We'll take check-ins right now as we continue with Ask an Elmer on the Sunday Morning Rag 2. And Pete, we'll get to your question too. Before we do that, let me just answer that. Pete, in the text box, asked a question. The anchor must match the drill size. Actually, I drill them just a little bit smaller and then pound the anchor in, and you get a nice tight fit that way. So there. So, okay, now we'll take check-ins about microphones. And the question again is, do you use one other than the one that came with your rig? And if that's the case, why? And what is it? Okay, we'll take check-ins right now as the Sunday Morning Rag 2 continues here on South Cars.
Victor Hotel.
Oscar Victor India. Over.
One India.
Yankee Zulu Romeo.
I think we had Bernie also coming in there. Bernie, try again. Were you trying to check in? I might have doubled with you.
Yep, it looked good on my screen anyway. It didn't look like I was doubling. Why is it our?
All right, we got you on the check-ins. Anybody else want to check in this time around? Nope, okay, we'll get things going with Victor Hotel. Hello there, Steve.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone. Let me divert, and I'll get back to the microphone question. There were some questions yesterday about the 500 and times. I have confirmed that the track opened at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It takes a while to get all those people in, close to 500,000 people have to get into that facility. The next thing is back home again in Indiana. Will be performed at 12:04, and the running of the race beginning about 12:12. Back to the microphone. I used to, don't anymore, but used to, and I was not alone. I used a number 2 pencil for a microphone. And the way you do that is you glue a Heil mic element to the top of a number 2 pencil, and it works just fine. KF5VH.
You know, I've heard of that. It's not the first time I've heard that. I would think without a, just having the capsule, first of all, you're on top of the rubber eraser, and that's sound isolation, so that's good. But I would tend to think you probably get a lot of ambient noise with it out not being in a, in a case. But that's apparently not the case, is it, Steve?
Well, you do have to use some care. You can't, like, tap your pencil on the desk, and you can't be rustling it around. But as long as you use a little care and you don't get too close to it because there's no windscreen, it'll work just fine. KF5VH.
Comes in handy if you have to take notes, too. That's pretty good. Thank you, Steve, and thank you for the information on the Indy 500, and thank you for the outstanding job that you're doing on that website. I just love going to that website and seeing what's up there. And if you didn't know, Steve's the guy who's responsible for the new look on the website and the fact that it's actually pretty cool right now, and he does a great job with it, and give you a little round of applause for that, because it is an awesome job. Thanks very much for that. We move things along here as we continue on the Rag 2 and Askin' Elmer. My buddy Pete, let's check in with OVI. Come on aboard, Pete.
Well, thank you, Gary. This is Katie for Oscar Rich Indian. I like that pencil deal. Well, back in the days when I was active, proactive, or active, you take your choice, on the CB radio. I'm not too bashful about CB radio, so I got started that. And I had a unit in Predator. I didn't like the mic that came with it. So I got a D-104 Silver Eagle, put it on there. And people starting to hear me better on that. So you take your pick of microphones for what you want to use it for on any of the rigs that ham radio frequencies working on. And you can really make a real bad ham radio sound good by the quality of microphone. It's the same, it's inverse proportional to the quality of speaker that you put on the amplifier. You can have a lousy amplifier, but if you got a good reproduction of speaker, you can really get the clarity of some for some of the low notes and high notes. You got excellent tweeter system. You put that in there. It's like making the bowl of soup, which says, maybe I put a quart on the slot here. It's like baking a pie. You get the right ingredients in there, you can make any lousy big, like I say, sound good by the quality of the microphone you put in there. Of course, you want the impedance match of the microphone to the first amplification factor. You need a good, You need a good transfer. So, in transferring your impedance from the microphone into the impedance of the amplifier is important. You don't want to put an amplifier that's rated for a crystal mic. You put a regular coil microphone in there. It's gonna match right. So you gotta be particular at that point. So that's my recipe for this morning on microphone. Also, you might want to go into the new format. Could anybody form a net on the server? Let's say a given time. Let's say if in agreement. So let's say you got four or five people that want to form a little net on the server. What is the criteria? What do you have to do? Do you have to consult with the with the board of directors or what? Give us some insight on that. I appreciate it. From Katie Frosch, Victor, India, St. El Saluto, straight ahead, avoid bumpy roads, and a best of goodbye to Toodaloo. If you have any other form of comments, please do so. Katie Frosch, Victor, India.
Well, that's good advice for all of us, Pete. The deal on the new format, all right, let's do that first, is pretty simple, okay? The idea being that it's an open chat. You basically are forming your own net. One person can, you know, just get on and say, hi, this is, you know, your call sign here, and anybody want to get together for a net on whatever topic, or just a net, or a little round robin type net, you know, where everybody's talking. So you would handle it very much or exactly the same way that you would an unformatted net on 40 or 80 meters, you know, that sort of thing. So that's really how it's going to work. I think, and just to get back to something that Rebecca said a little bit earlier, you know, that the Sunday morning time slot and the Saturday evening time slots are going away and going, you know, into the Thursday night time slot. If conditions dictated that, you know, we had enough audience space to work with, or enough, you know, folks out there to work with, you know, those things would come back again. So it's not cast in stone, but it's something we have to do right now. We, you know, just don't have enough people staff-wise to go around, and we need more folks out there as well to participate. So between those two factors, that makes the most sense right now. If things increase, then that we can change our net schedules too. So it's not cast in stone. Having said that, okay, let's get back to microphones. And, you know, it's funny. Pete, you made a good point. Let me just buy a nickel. You can make a so-so rig sound a lot better just by putting a good mic on it. That's assuming that it has a decent audio stage to begin with. And certainly, you know, a lot of the mics that come with a rig are not the highest output mics on the planet, too. You know, they don't want to get you into a situation of over-modulating the rig. So, you know, they're very conservative on their output. So, you know, you play around. You know, you find out what matches the best, and you're right. You want, you know, if you have a 600 ohm mic, you want it going into a 600 ohm input, or you want to match it to such. I know that a lot of people do other things as well with the microphone audio going in there. You know, you can process it with compression. A lot of rigs have built-in compression nowadays. But you can pre-compress it going into that. You can equalize it. You know, you're basically doing the same things that you do in a broadcast situation. And, you know, you realize you're rolling off at 3,000 hertz, so you want to kind of, you know, try to maximize that. You want to make that 3,000 hertz high-end sound as good as you can and maximize without being boomy or anything, the low end. You know, you want to make it sound rich and full. Basically, that's what your goal is. So you find the right mic, and if you're prone to using processing, you do that too, and you end up with hopefully a pretty good sounding station. So I know there's guys that are doing this enhanced single sideband, and I've heard it, and it sounds great. It sounds broadcast quality. You would not believe that it's a single sideband transmission. I haven't gone that far yet, but I'm trying to make as smooth an audio sound as I can on that IC718, that's for sure. Thank you, sir, for checking in. We go up to Danbury, Connecticut, and Paul, it is always, always great to have you along. Come on aboard here, sir.
Hey, good morning, Gary, and everybody else on South Cars this morning. WQ1I. Here, Danbury, Connecticut, and we have looks like a gorgeous day out here. It's very sunny. I was supposed to be checking the temperature while everyone else was talking, and then I got sidetracked looking up bike trails in the area, so I have no idea what the temperature is outside yet, but it sure looks pretty. We were supposed to have a lot of rain and stuff this weekend, and it looks like it passed through quickly, and today and tomorrow are going to be rather nice days. Which is nice. And on to the topic, your question about microphones. You know, honestly, I don't think, I'm trying to think of this now, I don't think I've ever had a microphone other than the ones that came with the rig. When I had my Tentec Omni 6, I guess that came with a handheld microphone, but I bought their version of the desk mic, but I think that's about as far as I've ever gone. I can't remember what I had on the old Kenwood TS-440S. I always wanted one of those D-104s, you know, those big silver lollipop-looking things, and I think the only reason I wanted one of them is because I think that's the first ham operator I ever saw operating an HF rig, that's what he was using. So it always kind of stuck in my mind. That was a very cool looking microphone. But never did get one. So pretty boring on the microphone aspect of ham radio, that's for sure. Anyway, I'll be here. Maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. But we'll be listening to the net. Good to hear you in there, Gary, and thanks for running it. And we'll catch you in a little bit. KC2RMO, WQ1I, back to net.
Hey, thank you, sir, and great to have you along on the last Sunday morning Askin' Elmer. It is an honor to have you today. You know, the D-103, D-104, that's the iconic ham radio mic, you know. But to my ear, I mean, it's very good for the basic voice range. You know, that's what it does very well. It's a 300 to 3,000 hertz microphone. And, you know, it's that's voice, you know. So, but it basically, to me, always had that, I'm on the old carbon mic telephone sound, you know. So it never had a high degree of appeal to me. When they started going to condenser mics on rigs, you know, there was as standard equipment, you know, with that handheld, there's a condenser element in there, and audio got better to my ear, but I'm, you know me, Paul really had no clue how they sounded. They just looked cool. To my ear, you know, they got better, but my ear's kind of tuned towards what you'd hear, you know, on a broadcast radio station. And of course, you're not going to get that on single sideband, but I'm looking for a smoothness that you know is kind of an intangible thing. But also, you know, for cool looking mics, you can't beat broadcast and studio mics. So you know you can indulge yourself a little bit that way too. So I'm more, you know, the Behringer stuff is great because it's high quality at very low cost. Let me buy a nickel. But I keep scouring eBay for somebody making a mistake on an Electro Voice microphone and pricing it really low so I can snag it. But thank you, Paul, and I do hope you check in later. We move things along to YZR. Come on aboard there, sir.
Okay, Gary, KC2RMO, KC9YZR. As far as microphones go, well, I used to have, back in 11-meter days in the early 70s, when I had to have a CB radio license, I had a realistic desk microphone, model 21-1173, I think. It's a realistic desk microphone, but when I got into ham radio, I rewired it to the Drake TR-4, and I used to get good reports on that realistic desk microphone. Couple people even said, "That's a realistic desk mic." They couldn't believe that Radio Shack had such a good sounding microphone. Anyway, I used to get good reports when I had it wired to the Drake TR-4, but I guess it doesn't work quite as well with other rigs. I guess not spectacular sounding audio on some of the other transceivers. But once I got the Yaesu FT-757GX. I bought one of those Heil HM10 dual microphones that had the HC4 and HC5 mic elements in it, one of them for the local rag chewing element and then one for DXing, and so that's what I used on the FT-757GX, their HM10 dual Heil microphone. And what I've got on the ICOM IC718 now is I've got an MFJ 297 microphone on there, trying that out, but I did try the realistic desk mic on it too. And I don't know about this Osheng though, the 2-meter transceiver, well, it's a dual bander actually. This Osheng, it's got a special feature on the microphone. The microphone itself also has a speaker in it. It's the first microphone that I've had that had a speaker in it, other than using a speaker mic on. Which I've also had, which I used to use on HTs. And, Harry, when you were mentioning home improvements or whatever, I was watching Ask This Old House, and they were putting this, installing this sensor on the kitchen sink there so that you wouldn't have to touch it, and the water would come on when you put your hands up by it. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You'd mention that right when they were doing that. I'm going to reset. I was waiting for my call sign to go off the screen there for transmitting part. Anyway, it also reminded me, you also mentioned vertical blinds at one point in time. That reminds me of ours here in the kitchen window. We have three kitchen windows there next to each other. And we went to this home improvement place here, I guess you could call it. And I was just trying to remember what the name of it is. It's closing down right now. But a few years ago, we went there and we asked them how much it would cost to have these vertical blinds put in on these three windows, and they said $100. I said, okay, put them in. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't $100 for the entire job. It was $100 per window. So it ended up costing $300 to put those vertical blinds in. But after a couple of years, a couple of the blinds fell off, and I actually flipped them upside down and punched a new hole in on the other end of it to more or less fix it so I could hang the blinds back up again. I kind of was thinking to myself, they're not really worth $100 per window. I thought $100 for all three would be all right, but it cost $300 to get all that done there. So anyway, that's about all I can think of right now. 67 degrees by Medford here, and you're mentioning about that pencil, putting a microphone on it or whatever. remind me of what I use this mic stand for, a 7-inch mic stand. I use it for holding my soldering iron. I don't use it for holding the Heil microphone anymore. I use it for holding my soldering iron. KC2RMO, KC9, YZR.
Hey, thank you, Bernie. It's amazing what you can use audio equipment for. You know, you mentioned this old house, and boy, you know, if you at least this is the way it is with me. If you ever want to feel inadequate, you know, in your skills in carpentry and home repair, just watch those guys. You know, these guys are like if they had capes. You know, they're just amazing. Tom Silva. Who is the carpenter, is insanely good. He's the best I've ever seen. My late brother was a very good carpenter, and, you know, I knew what to look for, and when you watch this guy, he's just way beyond, you know, what normal mortals can do, and the same thing with Richard Trelethy, I think is his last name. I don't know quite how to pronounce that, but he's the plumber. And Roger Cook is the guy that does the landscaping, but they're all great, and they all do an amazing job. And every time I watch that show, I just kind of turn it off and say, why do I even bother? You know. But, yeah, you know, microphones will surprise you every time. You know, you rewired that realistic, and it sounded good on a lot of things and might not sound good on others. The 718, let me give you take a break here for just a sec. I'll give you a little bit of nickel's worth of free advice, as they said with Mr. Strickland. Nickel's worth of free advice on the 718. 718 has an input stage very similar to the older ICOM rigs like the 735. As a matter of fact, that's what I had before I bought the 718. And I was originally using the ICM mic on the 735. Now, the ICM has a higher output than the normal Heil mics do. The reason for that was that the earlier ICOM rigs needed a little extra push on that input stage. Talk to Bob Heil. He had a recommendation of a certain mic that he had developed almost specifically for the IC-718. That might be the ICM, because I put the ICM on the 718 thinking, well, maybe I'm going to have to back off the input gain a little bit. But it matched perfectly. I mean, it was just like, bam, right on. So, you know, it's the Heil ICM. If you have a 718 or an older ICOM, it works great, and it sounds great. I have never gotten anything less than, boy, that audio sounds great as a signal report. So definitely worth checking out if you have a 718 or an older ICOM. I think anything other than a 718 on a modern ICOM, they have a higher gain stage, and you might want to go to another Heil microphone, but for the 718 and some of the older rigs, it's a real good choice. Let me buy a nickel. And you know, by the way, if you've ever been to Dayton, we're going to talk about Dayton in a little bit. But if you ever been to Dayton, you're going to find Bob Heil there. If you ever have a chance to stop by the Heil booth and talk to him, he has no problem at all talking to you. He's a great guy. Very interesting man. You will enjoy the conversation, that's for sure. We had OVI with a recheck, so Pete, if you're still there, come on in. Well, I guess not. Okay. Aliens must have gotten them. It's like so. Well, that was the thing with the microphones anyway, so I'm glad we brought that up. And it was a good little round of check-ins. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about today was I was reading, this was in the May issue of QST, a very interesting little tidbit, and I thought I'd pass it along with you, because this applied to me, and you may have something like this hanging out in your closet, too. And I'm not really sure exactly how to use this, but it looks like, you know, something to put on the list for fun things to fool around with in the future, okay? And what I'm talking about is they have a way here, or they're talking about high-speed multimedia over the air in ham bands using a Linksys WRT54G router. I have a spare router, which is a 54G. And I'm just going to read a little bit from this article. In the finest tradition of amateur radio, hands have been hacking the Linksys WRT54G series of inexpensive consumer Wi-Fi routers and turning them into 2.4 gigahertz high-speed data transceivers. These routers operate on a number of channel frequencies that are well within our 2.4 gigahertz ham allocation, meaning that we can legally do fun things, such as attaching them to high-gain antennas and RF power amplifiers. The result has been the development of amateur radio high-speed multimedia networks in several locations across the country. The development of mesh technology has made it ridiculously easy to set up highly redundant HSMM networks. Mesh-enabled router transceivers communicate with each other and route data automatically to wherever it needs to go. If one router in the mesh network goes offline, the network instantly adapts and establishes new routes. Now, that's kind of a heady sort of a thing, but it's also very interesting. And, you know, if you're like me and you have a spare Linksys router hanging around, anybody who's had a little bit of experience with them knows that they're quite easily user-definable. they have an open-source firmware that that you can mess around with, and the idea of this high-speed data mesh network or multimedia rather mesh network is kind of interesting. So I don't know, you know, obviously you'd have to do a little research, and I haven't done this. I just found this out the other day, so I didn't really get a chance to look into it too much. But you have to kind of find out if you have something like this active in your area, or you know, if you know some folks that might want to get active with it in the area, kind of get things organized and see what you can do. But it's an interesting thing to play with, and you know, one more thing available to use that ticket for. So interesting stuff, and why not turn a router into something like that? It's pretty good. Looks like OVI is ready to check back in again, so let's try it again. Pete, away you go.
Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize for doubling with you. I'm not that quick on the draw there. I lose all the time. I would not stand a chance against Wyatt Earp, for sure. But anyway, coming back to microphones is concerned, I thought in some of the ham rigs you have, I believe, a preamp. You can either put a preamp in your mic circuit or not. If you might want to correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe some of them have that. And you also have a microphone control that you can set your audio with on some of them, because you know, you get two very very variation of microphones that I believe a ham rig, if it's really designed properly, would have the option of putting in a preamp or a microphone gain adjustment in there that allows you, not like some of these other radios where you have to go inside and readjust because the manufacturer didn't adjust it right or something went awry or whatever. You have to go physically in there and set your deviation up according to specifications so you don't over deviate. You just write in there. But I thought that was in there too. But coming back to home improvements, some of the, I just got through putting in a new a laboratory sink in the bathroom. A real nice one. It's a cultured marble. And it went in pretty nicely. It sat on there. I put a couple of tack points on there to tack it on the cabinet. The only thing, the splash guard wasn't exactly to expect. And, oh gosh, I've got it in the corner there. I got a little drop in there, so there's a little space in there. So, and I have to paint that match to the wallpaper. But, talking about putting in a laboratory sink. Now, that is an art. I'm telling you, that is definitely an art. Connecting the sink, the disposal on there, the disposal line with the elbow in there. I had to get one of those elbows that was adjustable to the output line, because it was really tight. That's too tight, not a readjusted whole thing. But I'm telling you, it comes up. Okay, I'm a fool nickel, and I know I heard them say. But that was the case there, Gary. So, laboratory, I mean, the putting in the countertop, the culture pearl was the best thing that ever happened to my bathroom. It really looks nice now. And I'm going to do the other one, too, but not the whole thing, just the sink. But I tell you, it's nice to be to put that in there and look at the when your job is finished, you see that new top on there, the culture pearl. Oh, what a magic! It puts magic in the air in the bathroom. From Katie Foster, Virginia, back to Gary.
Hey, thank you, Pete. I'll tell you one thing. It has been my experience now as owning this house for 4 years and. Every place that I've lived before, I don't care whether you spend $1 million on a house or $100,000 on a house, you're going to face the same problem. Nothing is ever to spec. It's never 100% right. It's always that way. When I did the garbage disposal here, we bought a very big garbage disposal. I don't know why we got this thing. This thing like could grind up, you know, like tin cans. It's insane. It's this giant incinerator. You know, it's like really heavy duty. And it was so big that the we have a dual level sink, and the sink itself, the lower level, which would have been the side where you wanted to mount it, was too low. The disposal would have hit the bottom of the cabinet, actually, because it's a deep sink on that side. So what I did is I flipped it around. You know, I used the higher level to mount the disposal side, which was fine, except that, as you were talking about, is getting that that drain side, the trap side lined up. And normally, it's a lot of hacking and whacking to do that. I mean, you're just cutting. The first thing I'd say is, you know, use PVC pipe, number one, because it's a lot easier to cut, and it's a lot cheaper if you mess up. Secondly, with that PVC pipe, they make a flexi type of a pipe that you can move around a little bit, and it'll line up for you. So. That helps a lot too, and it saves all that hacking and whacking. So it's good that way too. So that's the plumbing tip for the morning. When in doubt, get the flexi stuff, and it works great. We're doing Ask an Elmer this morning on the final Sunday morning rag chew, and we're certainly glad that you're along with us. You had a little news item here for you regarding the history of and science of ham radio. NPR broadcast a radio show recently about the history and science of amateur radio. That show is now on the web. On May 18th, the ARRL celebrated its 100th anniversary, of course. ARRL, of course, is the largest association of ham radio hobbyists in the United States, headquartered in Newington, Connecticut. WNPR's Patrick Scahill has been covering the anniversary for NPR and joined Where We Live to talk about Hartford's connection to the ham radio history. To hear the story, it is located on the World Wide Web, of course, at wnpr.org/posts/history-and-science-ham-radio. Enough hyphens there? But when in doubt, I don't have the link here that I can put up in the text box, but you could just go to the NPR website and find it there too. But would be an interesting one to hear. I have not had a chance to listen to it, but you know, anytime you get NPR coverage. And am I there? I don't know if I was on for that last one. I just saw the light come on. So hopefully you got the story on the NPR. Other than that, we had about a minute or so worth of dead air. Oh, Paul says I'm back. Yep, we heard it okay. Okay, good. That's good. It just didn't quite... we got all the hyphens. Good. Okay, that's good. Okay. Then we're in business. That's good. It was funny. Just the light. I just looked up on the screen and the light came on. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah. So technical stuff, technical difficulties notwithstanding, we continue here with Askin' Elmer. Let's move along to a little bit about Dayton, because we were going to talk about Dayton a little bit. UKZ would like to just jump in here for a minute. So sure, Bernie, come on aboard.
Thank you very much. Just wondering if there's any way you could email me that link, Gary. Newfoundland, of course, should have been mentioned in that as well, I imagine, being the site of the first wireless transatlantic communication there by Marconi. So that I'd be interested in hearing that one as well. My email address, if you want to jot it down real quick, or I can put it in the text box as well, it's just my call sign, number 0, at gmail.com. Victor Oscar, number 1, Uniform Kilo Zulu, number 0, at gmail.com. If you could send that link along to me, it'd be fantastic. I'd have a job finding it on their website, I would imagine, with the eyesight there. All right, 73, so I'm back from the walk and listening, VON-UKZ.
Awesome, thanks, Daryl. Yeah, I will mail that to you. Okay, I have it on the other computer. I use two computers. The iMac here is the unit that I use to interface to EchoLink with, and I have the Windows machine sitting next to it, and the link is over on the Windows machine. But I'll be happy to email that to you after the net. And sounds like it should be a pretty darn good broadcast. I know NPR has done pieces on ham radio before that were very good. Don't know if it was the same person, but you know, the same correspondent that did it. But they've always been good, and the quality of reporting is always high on NPR, so I think it should be a pretty good piece, that's for sure. So we're going to talk a little bit about Dayton. I have been to Dayton twice. I will go again. It's fun. Dayton is just Dayton is kind of the Woodstock of ham radio. It is just a ton of fun. I'll tell you, Dayton is a learning experience, and if you've ever been there, you'll know what I mean. Steph and I went to Dayton a couple of years ago the first time, and we almost missed half the convention because we were in the wrong part of the arena. And we didn't realize there was a whole, we'd seen half of it. Yeah, we'd seen the flea market and half the convention. And over on the other side was another convention, you know. So once we got a little hip to that, we certainly enjoyed it a lot more. But I think if you ever have the chance, it's really worth going to. Just to get, I think, that much closer to the community. It's a lot of sights, a lot of sounds, and you get to see the latest technology. You get to talk to reps from the different manufacturers. You get to meet some pretty colorful folks like Bob Heil. He's always there. So, you know, you never know. So, but it's just a lot of fun. And a lot of people went this year. The actual wrap-up figures are still a little early to get, but estimates say that this year looks like about 24,500, which was about the same as last year. They did not have good weather this year. I guess the weather was atrocious, actually, for most of the convention. Let me buy a nickel. And it looks like it was pretty bad, so that didn't help. but May 18th, which was the convention's last day, looked like it got a little bit better. So but they all did pretty well with it, I guess. So they didn't break any records, but it looked like they matched last year, which is good. So, you know, one of the big things was with Dayton. Well, you know, obviously it's the presence of the manufacturers' reps. It's the AWRL. Of course, they celebrated their 100th anniversary this year. It's the learning that you can get from the different exhibits there. There are different groups representing different areas of technology. The flea market, everybody loves the flea market, but you got to get there early. I found that out for sure. And when you see a bargain, grab it. I will tell you the heartbreaking story that I had at the flea market. I was going through there, and we had kind of been on. This was like I think this was the Friday. This was a Friday that we were on there, and you know, I wasn't really seeing anything at that point. All the good stuff was gone, and I stopped at this one booth. Guy had a couple of 12-inch Electro Voice Wolverines sitting there, which I love those speakers. They're great speakers. And, you know, I said, what do you want for them? The guy goes, $30, you know, and they were perfect. They were absolutely perfect. They weren't recones. They weren't ripped. They weren't even dirty. And I'm like, how am I going to get them in the car? Because at Dayton, you don't park in a parking lot. You park in a parking lot that's 2 miles away. They take you by bus. So I said, well, I can't lug these things all around the grounds here, you know, so... Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. So long story short, I let it pass. That night, I woke up in a cold sweat about 3 in the morning and said, why did I do that? You know? So when you see the opportunity, don't let it pass. That's for sure. So let's take another round of check-ins. Okay, have you ever been to Dayton, and what was your impression of it? So let's do it right now as we continue on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew with Ask an Elmer.
UKZ.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
This is KC2RMO. Do we have any other check-ins? Okay, nothing heard this time around, so how about we pick it up with UKZ.
Thank you very much again. No, I've never been to Dayton myself, but just for anybody's FYI that hasn't been there, that would like to see next year what's going on, kind of a little bit too late now. I may have mentioned this on the net a couple of weeks ago, not sure. But before, yeah, I think I mentioned the week before Dayton as well, the W5KUB.com website, of course, broadcasts from Dayton. And for the past couple of years, they've been making it better each year. So he did a real good job this year, passed out some prizes, and went around to all the various booths and did some interviews, and it was really good. And then, of course, all the seminars should be available on Ham Radio Now and, what's the other one, Ham Radio Now and... I can't remember for the life of me. Ham Nation probably gets some coverage on it on their past episode of this Wednesday past, and there should be lots of information out there for those of us who can't get there. So anyway, we'll be listening. This is VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Yeah, I would expect Ham Nation probably has something going on with that too. But yeah, that guy, he goes around with a webcam. He's got a wireless webcam, and they're broadcasting it live, you know, throughout the convention. I got on it. it was one of those times. I can't remember if this was the first or second time. But he makes the rounds, that's for sure. It's really hard to describe the atmosphere unless you've been there. And if you can get a little video of it, you get a taste of it anyway. It's crowded. It's fun. As Steph says, there is a lot of testosterone around there. It's kind of like a giant visit to Harbor Freight. I don't know, but it's just fun. I enjoy it. Food's good too. There is good food in that parking lot. That's true. But do plan on spending a lot of time walking around. If you're not up for walking, it's not for you. I've got the email definitely we'll email that out to you. That is for sure. Daryl, we will get that out to you promptly. you definitely gotta be prepared to do a lot of walking and spend a lot of time. Do not try to do it all in one day, because it just won't work. You figure on 2 days, and really the best way to do it is 3 days, or two and a half anyway. That is the best way to go with it. So you know, make it part of your vacation, but it's a fun vacation, it really is. And if you're adventurous, and if it's still there, about half an hour away in Richmond, Indiana, if you are judicious in your GPSing, you will find in a rather obscure part of town the Uwashi Laundromat. And one of the high points of my life was visiting the Uwashi. I had researched this thing for probably a couple of years on the internet, found the Uwashi, had my picture taken at the Uwashi, and sitting here at my little cubicle here in the home office that I'm doing this net from, I have a blow up of one of the signs from the Uwashi to remind me of that most momentous day. It's definitely worth doing it. I've told the story of the Uwashi before. I'm sure everybody's heard it, but if anybody wants to hear it again, just let me know, and I'll repeat it. This is the Sunday Morning Rag Chew. This is Askin' Elmer, and let me just buy a nickel. We are talking about all things technical and ham radio oriented on this, the last Askin' Elmer on a Sunday morning. We were talking also about the Dayton Hamvention. We mentioned the flea market. We mentioned the exhibits. We've mentioned the seminars. A little bit of history for the Dayton Hamvention. The Dayton Hamvention is an amateur radio convention, generally considered to be the largest hamfest in North America. It is held each May at the Hera Arena in Trotwood, Ohio, near Dayton. Hera Arena has been the home of the Dayton Hamvention since 1964, but the convention has been held each year since 1952. The Hamvention offers forums, exhibit space, and, of course, a flea market, and usually claims to have over 20,000 visitors verified by the ARRL. Well, certainly they've had more than 20,000 visitors. That goes without saying, so that's not exactly accurate. They were up to about 25,000 this year. In the neighborhood. Well, I guess over 20,000 counts, so what can I say? Many amateur radio enthusiasts go out of their way to attend the Hamvention, traveling from all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, and various parts of the world, and even as far as Australia, Japan, and Russia. So it is a well-established big deal, that's for sure. And like I say, it's worth doing. It's a lot of fun. So we've got some other things to get to. I do want to get to our little surprise demonstration here, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. But I'll say let's take one more round of check-ins before we get to that. So anybody with anything they want to check in about on Askin' Elmer here, come on aboard right now. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars looking for check-ins.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Rick, we forgot you. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. Go right ahead right now.
This is N1VXP. No, that's okay. I figured you forgot. N1VXP here, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. I probably will make it to Dayton next year. In the meantime, I just picked up a new radio. Actually, not a new one, but it's a Baofeng UV-82. And for $35, I said, it's definitely worth trying. They claim it's actually a little bit better than the UV-5R. Yes, it is easier to program. Similar programming. You can do it either by manual or software. I have found that by programming that radio manually, it made my programming my UV-5R much simpler. I said to myself, wow, same basic programming, and audio-wise, from what I've done Simplex, people have said it actually sounds better than the UV-5R. So slight improvements on the audio. Signal-wise, it's okay. It definitely needs a replacement antenna, like any of the radios, handhelds. The better the quality of the antenna, the better the signal. But, you know, it's just for $35, I said, I can always go with it. And I really like it. The only thing I have to get used to is it actually has two PTT buttons. It's a toggle switch. Let me drop for a second. You know, you transmit on, like, channel A is the top of the PTT button, and channel B is on the bottom. So, you know, it's the idea you can actually have the two, as far as dual listening, but you have to remember to look at the display to realize, unless you know just by the audio which channel you're on, you may accidentally hit channel A transmit. And what it does, when you hit the channel A transmit, the radio automatically goes to channel A, whereas if you hit channel B transmit, it automatically goes there. So you don't have to switch on the radio itself. You just hit the PTT button. As far as switching from one band to the other, I find that, believe it or not, it's actually easier. I do have it programmed for channels, but a lot of times I just put it in the VFO mode and set a frequency with all the PL tone and everything else and just leave it at that. And if I need to switch to a non-ham, I have non-ham channels put in for like local weather, fire, and other emergency communications. And it works really good. You know, surprising for $35. I said, wow, this is not a bad little radio. Let me drop for a second. The size of it is a little bit, well, it's, oh, I got them side by side. It's about maybe about an eighth of an inch longer than the UV-82 is about an eighth of an inch longer than the UV-5R with the standard battery. But the keypad is much bigger. And display is down towards the middle of the radio with the speaker on top, whereas the UV-5R has the display at the top and the speaker at the middle. And overall, it's not a bad radio. Apparently, this has been out since 2013, so I'm not sure if it came out before the UV-5R or after, but they actually do put a comparison and saying that overall, the radio is much better, the UV-82, that is. And, yeah, I'm really pleased with it. It's a little bit heavier weight, better quality design to it. And overall, it's, you know, really a nice radio. In fact, speaking of radios, I pulled out my Yaesu FT60 out, I realized, oh, I got a dead battery. And I went to charge it up. It just won't charge, so I've got to think about getting a replacement for it. But in the meantime, I used the power supply on it, and I was like, wow, it still works. So I got more handhelds than I really need, but then again, you know, I always call that my brick radio because it is a heavier-built radio, and surprisingly, it still works. N1ZXP back to net control.
Rick, thanks for the report on that Baofeng. I've seen that. Didn't know, you know, I'd read a couple of reviews on it, and some folks say it's an improvement. Basically saying the same thing that you were saying. That's a little better, and it has some nice features. Saw a couple that said it was no, you know, no big deal, but overall I think the consensus was that it's a better radio than the U5V. I have, you know, mine, as a matter of fact, it's sitting right here. The U5R rather, UV5R. Mine's sitting right here. I use it just about every day. It's a great little radio. For $30, how can you go wrong? You know, I bought that thing with the again because it was $30. I mean, it's like you can't say no to it. I said if the thing blows up, who cares? You know, I just want to actually see if the thing would work. It has not disappointed me. The one thing that I wanted to ask you: have you ever tried programming it with the Chirp software? Do you use Chirp also to program it?
No, I found that, believe it or not, it is not hard to program. Well, the UV5R at first was a little tricky, but once I realized what you do is you set everything up on the VFO and send it over to memory onto a channel. But getting the initial setup was tricky, but once I got the UV82 using the same similar programming, it's very simple. You always have to remember to set up in VFO and then transfer it to a memory channel. But no, I haven't. I was thinking about doing the Chirp, but really hadn't taken the plunge to do it. I was using a software that was came with the radio, which did work. Surprising. Apparently, I guess different models, production-wise, had different software issues. But I was surprised the one that I had sent to me did work, N1TXP.
Very good. Yeah, I tried both the software that came with the unit, which was awful. It didn't. I couldn't even get it to run. And I did a little research, and they said use Chirp, and. I said, well, what have I got to lose? It's free. And I did. I downloaded the Chirp software, and it's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it works very well, actually, and that's what I use on mine. Let me try some of the Chirp program. Apparently, some people don't allow you to use Chirp. I've never heard that, but I guess... You never know. You know, I don't see why they would object to it. I've used Chirp on mine. It's been very successful, no problem at all. You know, but it's good to hear the report though, Rick, because it does sound like it's a worthwhile successor. I'll tell you, you know, do you have too many handhelds? Yeah, I do, but hang on just a second, we buy a nickel. I mean, how many do you need? You know, I've got the Baofeng that I just keep in the house here. I use that. I have a VX150 that I use in the truck, and I have my absolute favorite handheld. Is it's about 20 years old. It's a Cherokee AH50 6-meter FM handheld that I use to, we have, and I think I've talked about this before, that we have this terrific 6-meter repeater here in Syracuse that is just a killer. The guy who put the thing together is a broadcast engineer. He got a hold of one of the broadcast stations' antennas here. When they went from analog to digital, they didn't need the analog antenna anymore. He got a hold of that, modified it to 6 meters. He has this thing sitting on a hill that's about 2,200 or 2,400 feet up on a 900-foot tower. And does this thing have a signal? Yes. It's rather impressive. It goes everywhere from, I guess it goes north as far as Canada, south into Pennsylvania, west into Ohio. It is just a very impressive repeater. And, you know, we're lucky to have it. And we're lucky to have Kevin, who... KD2SL, who is the person that put this together. He's done a lot for the local ham community here, and we're lucky again to have him. This is Ask an Elmer on South Cars as we continue on the final Sunday morning rag chew. Let me buy a nickel. And one of the things I was talking about earlier, let's see if we can get this going here. You know, we're talking about things involved in technology, too, and we had come across the subject of tablets briefly, and my wife, Stephanie, my lovely wife, has just gotten a new iPad Air, which allowed me to get the Generation 1 iPad and put it in the truck, which is a great source of music. I've got lots of room for music in that. And I can even do Wi-Fi, you know, which is pretty cool. One of the cool things that comes with this iPad Air is what they call an electronic personal assistant, and her name is Siri. And maybe you know of Siri. Maybe you have an iPhone and you have Siri, or maybe you have an iPad Air and you know of Siri. But for those of you who don't, Siri is as it says, a personal assistant. And let me just give you a demonstration of what Siri does here. There we go. Siri?
Okay, I found this on the web.
Thank you. Siri, what is the temperature?
It's currently 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, so Siri can do things like this for you. But as with all technologies, usually in operating systems and what have you, they have things that are called Easter eggs, funny little things that are hidden in there and designed for... responses, or you got to dig them out, you know, and you get a little surprise when you find them out. That's basically what it was. So, for instance, if I say, Siri, flip a coin.
It's heads.
So you don't need a coin to flip heads. And if I say, Siri, why are fire engines red?
Here is what I found.
And I'm going to read to you what the response is. Let me just buy a nickel before I do. All right, here's Siri's response to me. Because they have 8 wheels and 4 people on them, and 4 plus 8 is 12, and there are 12 inches in a foot, and 1 foot is a ruler, and Queen Elizabeth was a ruler, and Queen Elizabeth was also a ship. And the ship sailed the seas, and the seas are fish, and fish have fins, and the Finns fought the Russians, and the Russians are red, and fire trucks are always rushing around. And that's Siri's answer to that. So, and finally, my favorite, we'll ask Siri. Siri, what did the fox say?
You will never know. The secret of the fox is an ancient mystery.
But you can tell me more. Siri, what does the fox say? What does the fox say?
You will never know. The secret of the fox is an ancient mystery.
Well, this isn't working so well because we're supposed to get another answer here. Hold on. Siri, what does the fox say? That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. there are multiple answers programmed in here, so you have to sometimes wait for the right one. But it's fun, and if you want to have some fun with Siri, if you have an iPhone and or an iPad, you can just Google that, and you could Google Siri Easter eggs or funny things to say to Siri, and have a little fun with it. I was sitting here this morning, just basically wasting a lot of time and having a lot of fun. This is Askin' Elmer on the Sunday Morning Rag Chew, and as we continue, we're just going to throw it open here for some check-ins, so let's hear what you've got. Come on aboard and let yourself be known. All right, any check-ins this time around? Okay, nothing heard, and that's okay, too. I want to say thank you to everybody as we wrap this last Askin' Elmer up. It's been a real successful net. It's been an awful lot of fun doing it, and I just really want to say thank you to each and every one of you for your participation and for all the fun we've had on these Sunday mornings with this thing. It's been great, and somewhere down the line on the Thursday night schedule, we will be doing it again, but it's going to be a while before we have another Askin' Elmer, so thanks for making this one a great one, as I say, you know, down the line, it'll be happening. By the way, check the South Cars website. Check the breaking news section of the South Cars website so that you can get the full details on the new net schedules. Okay, so it's going to be a little different, but I think you're going to enjoy that too, very much so, as a matter of fact. So thanks again for everybody being there. Thanks to Jim and Rebecca for being there in the background. It is always wonderful to have you guys there, too. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VoIPnet schedules, and general information may be found on the VoIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session is Dungarry, KC2RMO, saying 73 and closing this VoIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is closed.